Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Oprah is crying again about lesbianism. Is she crying because she is a lesbian or she's not a lesbian? What is she saying? This is breaking news. Oprah is crying again saying she's not a lesbian. Okay. And Julian Assange, he may or may not be crying. He's now in jail in England. The founder of the WikiLeaks website, and he is fighting extradition to Sweden, where he is wanted in connection with charges of rape. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I'm sure England has an extradition treaty with Sweden, so most likely he'll be on his way to Sweden. And credit card companies, Visa and MasterCard, have stopped processing donations to WikiLeaks. Remember that PayPal pulled out a few days ago? PayPal stopped processing donations to WikiLeaks. Now Visa and MasterCard have. And of course, there are a lot of people, including, well, folks who fancy themselves as completely opposed to authority. The bumper stickers we've seen throughout our lives, question authority. Folks like that are immediate fans of WikiLeaks, because whether what WikiLeaks is doing is right or wrong in any given situation, they just love to attack authority. And why is it that people like to rebel against authority? What's that all about? Ultimately, it's about God and their rebellion against God. You know, it's true, a lot of atheists, they can't process this easily, so maybe we'll say it in an easier way. But the truth is that without God, there would be no right and wrong. And a lot of atheists can't handle that. They can't think through from one to the other. But without God, so maybe we could say it like this so they could catch on. Without God, there's only consensus and preference, right? Let's say about slavery. Either society approves of slavery or disapproves of it. But without God, there's no absolute right or wrong by which you can judge a man's actions or the actions of a nation or a culture. So without God, there's only consensus or majority rule or preference. So you could have a convention and you could say, by convention, we think slavery is good or slavery is bad, but there are no absolutes. And somebody might come along after you with a bigger gun and say, no, slavery is bad. We're going to not allow you to own slaves. So apart from God, there is no right or wrong. But there are people who are essentially, some people who are as far as anarchists, who just love WikiLeaks, whether it's doing damage or not, whether innocent people even get killed or not, because let's say terrorists are able to use information that is dumped on the internet by WikiLeaks. There are people who don't care about those kinds of consequences, because they have such a rebellion against God. And by the way, many people around the world and here in our own country who hate God also hate America, because they exaggerate the degree to which America is a Christian nation. Like, America is officially post-Christian. We have mocked God. We shake our fist at God. We say God is not allowed in our education system. He's not allowed in our courts. Increasingly, he's not allowed in our hospitals. Increasingly. So we mock God and we say the things that God said, thou shalt not, we say, oh yeah, just watch me. Like, thou shalt not commit adultery. We say adultery is legal. We even have our Christian ministries today thinking that pornography is a free speech right. And so we decriminalize stealing as long as it's done by some kind of political process where you take money from your neighbor for your own benefit. And we've decriminalized murder by killing the elderly or those who are sick by starving them to death. You know, there's a lot of folks who are rebellious against God and they don't understand euthanasia, for example. If you starve to death someone, why is that wrong? Well, one way to know whether a medical procedure is immoral is, will the same treatment kill a healthy person? Will the same treatment kill a healthy person? If it will, then it's immoral. If the same treatment will definitely kill a healthy person, then it's immoral. So you take Children's Hospital in Denver and 4-year-old Dylan Wolborn, and their ethics committee says, well, we think it would be okay to not give him food. So to stop feeding him. No nutrients, no food, just stop feeding him. Well, let's say you had a healthy 4-year-old boy at Denver's Children's Hospital, and you gave him that treatment. It would kill him. It would certainly kill him. So anyway, with God, we could know right from wrong. With rebellion against God, then we become the authority, and whatever we think, whatever we say, is our ultimate commitment, our own pride and selfishness. So there are folks that are all over the world that are obsessed with supporting Julian Assange, whether he's a rapist or not. Prediction, if he is convicted with credible evidence that he is a rapist, that won't deter his supporters from praising him. Just like Michael Jackson being a homosexual child molester. That doesn't deter millions of his supporters from their offering adulation to him. And so we have now PayPal, Visa, and MasterCard all refusing to process donations to WikiLeaks. And WikiLeaks is saying, tough, no big deal. Our website is fully duplicated in more than 500 locations. And they say just their cables, their U.S. Embassy cables download, they say that's being downloaded 50 million times every day. So that's awfully interesting. And, you know, it is bizarre that our government has said Barack Obama, in a classic example of closing the barn doors after the horses escaped, he's telling our government workers, of which there are, you know, hundreds of thousands that this information would be of interest to, he's saying you're not allowed to look it up. So it's online. It's out there for everyone to know. Everyone that they interact with, private contractors, foreign associates, they all know the information. And so apparently our government workers are not supposed to look on the internet to see what everyone else knows. It's just weird. Isn't it weird? It's like the Twilight Zone going down with Alice. And so so here we have now, we have WikiLeaks saying that regardless of what happens, they'll find the money or they don't need the money. Their full website is operating in 500 locations with 50 million downloads a day. Their Facebook page has 1 million fans. And so you're going to end up with what? Well, a lot of the allegations, some of them are interesting, like Hillary is caught red-handed ordering U.S. diplomats to spy on foreign ambassadors. She's telling our diplomats, we want you, gives them a whole list of things that they need to collect information on foreign ambassadors, including their email usernames, passwords, their credit card numbers. So isn't that interesting? Hillary is telling our U.S. diplomats, hey, you're working with the ambassador from, and just fill in any country, Australia or Sweden or Germany, we want you to try to get his credit card number. So in other words, they go out to dinner. Maybe they're in Little Italy. They go to Paisano's. And the foreign ambassador pays. So try to get the stub that they throw out, the carbon. Try to get it. Hillary orders them to spy. Get their credit card numbers, their email IDs, their passwords. Well, how might they do that? They'd have to be crazy, the foreign ambassador. But if they're in a U.S. diplomat's office or an embassy and they say, could I use your computer? And they log on to their Gmail account. Well, the computer could collect every keystroke they type. So then they dutifully turn into Hillary. Here's Ambassador so-and-so from Spain. Here's his Gmail account and his password. So Hillary has been caught red-handed again and again and again and again. But a lot of what's been released, even the information that makes the headlines, it's nothing new. It's nothing that surprises people who follow the news. Like, for example, of all the countries that have been affected, Russia, for example. Well, the WikiLeaks embassy cables that have been released, emails, they describe Russia as corrupt. That's not surprising, of course. They say it's a corrupt government that centers on Putin, Vladimir Putin, and that it's often hard to tell the difference between the government and organized crime, and it's all bound together in a virtual mafia state. And that's what our ambassadors and diplomats are saying about Russia, and that's pretty much, that's what people know, anybody who knows anything about Russia. But it is interesting, it's embarrassing to Hillary as the Secretary of State to have these blunt descriptions come out under her name, under her authority. So about Russia, they say that arms trafficking, money laundering, people are getting rich. There's protection for gangsters, extortion and kickbacks. You know, even before Putin in Russia, they had, in the Soviet Union, they had 100% employment. Remember that? Where they had millions of workers who would sit at a desk all day and do nothing. And they would joke and they would say, yeah, we pretend to work and they pretend to pay us. Because they give us a paycheck that doesn't buy anything. You go to the store and there's hardly anything to buy. So, and they have a very difficult time, of course, very difficult. Just like in China, China is a very wicked country that has enslaved now over 1 billion people. And they have forced abortion. They've killed tens of millions of little girls, more so than little boys. And so now they have a demographic crisis of millions upon millions of young Chinese men growing up without the possibility of marriage, because that many girls have been killed because of the families that needed a son to work the farm or run the business. And so female abortion and female infanticide has been epidemic in China for all the years that they've had where they've outlawed brothers and sisters. They've outlawed brothers and sisters. So in China, where they pride themselves on, you know how in America we have planned communities and they decide where they're going to put the roads and all and the utilities before they start building homes and businesses and parks and all, a planned community. Well, China, they thought they have an entire planned economy, a whole planned nation, everything under the control of the party. And they make a little blunder. They end up with 30 million too few women to marry their men. Little blunder. Slight oversight. Who could have thought it? And we've been here on Bob and Yurt Live warning the world and the Chinese about that great tragedy in the making for 20 years. And we've watched our Republican, conservative, pro-life politicians, like, for example, in Colorado, former Congressman Bob Schaefer, just love China and make excuses for China. And China has enslaved hundreds of millions of people, and they forced millions of women to abort their child, which is one of the greatest crimes that you could commit, to kill a woman's child within her own body. Just one of the greatest crimes you could commit when the woman, like our friend Xu Yanzhou, is trying to escape and protect her child. And they get her forcibly, force her on the table, and they kill her baby within her. And we have conservative, Christian, pro-lifer Republicans who just love China and most favored nation status. And they normalize not only abortion. And by the way, Planned Parenthood does the same thing. They love China. They give them tens of millions of dollars for their population control program, which is not pro-choice. It's forced abortion. So it exposes the lie in everyone, right? It exposes the liberal and the conservative, like Bob Schaefer is not pro-life. He's not conservative. He doesn't care about freedom. He just cares about power and money. And it exposes the lie in the left and the pro-aborts. They don't care about choice. They just care about killing kids. They're bloodthirsty. And on both sides, it comes from a rebellion against God and a lack of humility. So anyway, but back to Russia. So Russia, they've got the police and the prosecutor's offices operating as a de facto protection racket for criminal networks. That's according to Hillary's State Department and the embassy cables that are now public via WikiLeaks. And our diplomats say about Russia that the bribery is ubiquitous there. There is so much bribery that it acts like a parallel tax system for the personal enrichment of not only government officials, like higher level government officials, but also the police, the average policeman. You bribe him to, you know, instead of getting a permit, you bribe him and then you get your permit. It's like driving in Mexico, sort of like that. And in Mexico, it's actually just a little more efficient than we have it here. Mexico, you're speeding, the cop pulls you over, and you got to give him $50. You just give him $50. You don't get a ticket. You don't got to go to court. You don't have to pay the judge. They don't have to give him a salary and take withholding. You just give him $50. You go on your way, and he goes to the grocery store. It's so much simpler. And Russia's sort of working like that now. So we have this story with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. And it's interesting that the people who love what he's doing, practically the entire, this is my assessment, practically the entire support structure that he has, you'll find, as if you talk to them, that they dislike America. And if you talk more deeply, they view America as a Christian nation, and to the extent that they think America is Christian, to that extent they despise America. So a lot of Obama supporters, they liked him because they viewed, say, George Bush as a fundamentalist Christian. If only they knew, right? If only they knew that Bush was pro-homosexual and pro-abortion and socialist. And he gives us a $1 trillion brand new entitlement program, a prescription drug program, and far outspent Clinton, even on domestic spending, and gave Planned Parenthood $100 million more than Bill Clinton ever dreamed of giving them in his 8 years. And only if they knew all those things, but they wouldn't really care. It's like the difference between the National Socialist and the Marxist. In Germany, in the 30s, there are two parties, the National Socialist and the Communist. And they're really pretty similar. They're similar in so many ways. They're way more similar than they are different. But they hated one another. So why they hate one another? It was competition. It's like the competition between the Broncos and name me a sport and the Raiders. Thank you. I stopped watching the Broncos when I became the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I was going to say the Broncos and the Red Wings. That's a different sport, right? Yeah. So one set of fans, they hate the other team. They just hate them. Why do they hate them? I mean, they just hate them, and it's just a game. And so then you go to socialists and communists, and they just hate one another because they want to win the election. And they want to see their guys win the election. It's just like watching the Stanley Cup or the Final Four in golf or whatever it is. They just hate the other team. It's the same thing in daytime television if they still have soap operas. I have no idea if they do. But it's virtually the same thing with the Republicans and the Democrats. How do you know with all your passion and you follow the news on the Fox News channel, you follow it as though you're addicted to your favorite soap opera and you can't wait for the Super Bowl, the election day, and you get your pizza and your popcorn, your beer, and you stay up following the returns, and you just don't care. You just want Hillary to lose. That's it. And you say because it's the lesser of two evils. But if that's the case in 8 years or 12 years, if it's Hillary or another person, and the other person is worse than Hillary, then you'll be voting for Hillary. You see, God gives us the standards, and when you follow God's standards, you don't get confused. And as I see it from here in the studio at Bob and Yurt Live, we're nestled in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. As I see it, our nation is utterly confused. We sit atop a world of nations that are utterly confused, and our Christian ministries are utterly confused, and they spend decades advocating that we support the enemy, that we support people who are pro-homosexual, pro-choice, with exceptions, pro-evolution, and on, pro-socialism. And then as the nation slowly gets worse and worse and worse, James Dobson says when he retired at Focus on the Family, he says, we can now say that after 30 years, we have failed in everything we try to accomplish in our culture. We have failed across the board. And he was right. And he was right. And we here at Bob and Yurt Live, we've only been on the air nagging them for 20 years, not 30 years. But I'm sure there were others nagging them before that, although I don't know if it was on the air or not. But we've been on the air for 20 years nagging them. Please don't advocate regulating wickedness. Don't advocate regulating pornography, Dr. Dobson. That's not the proper Christian influence on our culture. That's not teaching young people the right thing, that you want to regulate pornography through the Presidential Commission on Obscenity. That's not what we, Dr. Dobson, we don't want to regulate pornography, like keep it so many feet away from a high school. And the porn videos that they make, they have the free speech right to make them, but they can't include certain things. And so everything gets confused. Everybody is confused. And when you kill an unborn child, Focus on the Family for 15 years, they advocated a law, a federal law, that said if you're going to kill a late-term baby, you're going to pull them out to the neck and stab them in the back of the neck. You have to have a 4-inch variation on that. You can only pull them out to the navel and kill them. It's called the partial birth abortion ban, which was not a ban. It was a legislative description of legal late-term abortion. You pull the baby out to the belly button, and then you could kill him. Or if the mother's overdilated and the baby slips out to the neck, you could still do a textbook partial birth abortion. According to the Supreme Court in their Gonzales v. Carhart opinion that said the partial birth abortion ban was legal. And Focus on the Family celebrated that ban and that ruling. And so did National Right to Life and Concerned Women for America. And so here at Bob and Yurt Live, we started to, well, the first thing we did that I don't know if any other Christian leader in the nation did it. I don't think Jay Sekulow did it. Is we read the ruling. Just read it. The first day it came out, read the ruling. And all our Christian leaders began praising the partial birth abortion ban and the ruling, and including Judge Roy Moore. Remember the Ten Commandments? Chief Justice in Alabama? So we contacted him and asked to interview him about the ruling, and he praised it. And we asked him, could you read it, and then we'll do an interview. And he came on this show, and he publicly apologized. He repented for ever having supported the partial birth abortion ban. He stated it was brutally wicked, just like Alan Keyes stated. He said it violated the law of God, the law of man. It was a textbook. It was a judicial, a virtual manual on how to perform legal late-term abortions, how to poison the baby, how to rip the baby to pieces, how to kill it after you pull it out to the belly button, when could you kill it when you've pulled it out to the neck, the whole deal. Denial that the baby is a human being, a person, and bragging that we like this bill because it doesn't refer to the fetus as a child like some of the other bills. It refers to the embryo, the fetus as a fetus. And so we read it and we posted it online and we began to expose this confusion and moral relativism among our Christian leaders. And so from here at our studio, nestled in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, from where we sit, it looks like the nation is in utter confusion. And somebody like Julian Assange, who's a possible rapist, is a hero to millions, partly because there are no heroes any longer. You look at George W. Bush, and he promotes homosexuality and abortion. He funds hundreds of millions of dollars to kill children at Planned Parenthood. And all the Christian leaders praise him as being the most pro-life president we ever had. He's the first president to fund embryonic stem cell research, and they praise him even for that. And on and on and on and on. And so there are millions of Christians and millions of unbelievers, and they see there are no leaders, there are no heroes, there's no standards, there's no right or wrong. And so Julian Assange, we probably have Christians in our good churches who like what he's doing. So, hey, we're out of time. KGov.com is our website, 800-8-NYARC. God bless you.
Would you like to study the Bible but don't really know where to start? Bob and Yart's seminar on hermeneutics, tools for studying the Bible, will help you to study and understand the Bible on a whole new level. Hermeneutics, tools for studying the Bible, is available by calling 1-800-8-NYART, or you can get the MP3 CD or the MP3 download at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.